Remember, we do have a test tomorrow.
So don't take off early for Thanksgiving vacation. What is it? 90 degrees with your arrow as you travel along here, your velocity arrow, or are they mostly against you, making an arrow greater than 90 degrees with you? And then Green's theorem can convert this question into a question about an integral of partial derivatives inside the loop.
Here's a little picture here, right? Here's a... Here's a picture of the two cases, right? So you have your unit tangent vectors, and right here, the angle is bigger than 90 degrees. So that's a negative that'll be a negative contribution to your integral. How big is the contribution? Well, the magnitude of that little contribution will be the magnitude of vector F here, the field, multiplied by the little bit of arc length on which you're measuring here. And you take little bits of arc length and you take samples on each segment, right? That sample point is where you compute the field of the unit tangent vector. There's over here. It's a positive contribution. And you can also think of it as if the vector field is kind of swirling counterclockwise, so to speak, then this will come out positive. If it's more swirling clockwise, it will come out negative. And this we talked about before. Now, this was the circulation form. Now here's the flux form of Green's theorem. Looks very similar. We talked about this one on Thursday. So this measures the flux of the field through
the boundary loop.
Now, that this is most easily interpreted as if you interpret the vector field as the velocity field of a fluid. Is the fluid on net flowing out of the region D, or is it flowing into the region D? If the answer is on net, it's flowing out, then this will be a positive number. If it's on net flowing in, this will be a negative number. You could think of it as being the rate of that flow. That actually works out because velocity is length times time. So if you think of this in terms of velocity times length, you get area per time. So that actually would work out. Because this is two-dimensional, so you'd be asking how many square units of fluid are flowing in per second, basically. And it came out slightly different, right? You do a different integral of partial derivatives of the region D, and that matches this loop integral.
And of course,
remember, if you want the normal vector, you just have to rotate your unit tangent vector 90 degrees clockwise. And we always choose the boundary of D such that that clockwise 90 degree rotation really does point out of the region. If the clockwise rotation made it point into the region, then you had the orientation wrong. In this particular picture, at both of these sample points, I have a less than 90 degree angle between the field and the outward normal vector. So that would be positive contribution to the flux. Right? You'd have to imagine another sample point, or maybe somewhere over here, say, you know, oh, look, now the field's pointing into D. So the unit tangent vector is something like this over here. And unit normal vector. Clockwise, yes. This. So over here, that's a negative contribution to the flux. That's net. That would be flow into the region. And there's a nice little abbreviation for these two things. Okay, this gets called the two-dimensional curl of F. Okay, and this gets called the two-dimensional divergence of F. Okay. So the idea is you integrate the curl over the whole region, and that tells you the circulation around the boundary. You integrate the divergence over the whole region, and that tells you the flux through the boundary, the net flow out. And these two concepts generalize to 3D. Okay. So that's what we're going to talk about today. It's a new thing. Right? The focus will be on the 3D version of these. Curl and divergence. Yes.
What's 60 is that?
Oh, I think it's a 6.5, right? Because 6.1 was vector fields, 6.2 is conservative vector fields, 6.3 was
I know 6.4 was Green's theorem. I'm
forgetting 6.3. But,
I believe it's 6.5. Okay. So in 3D, the divergence is defined analogously. You take the x derivative of the x component plus the y derivative of the y component plus the z derivative of the z component. It's just like in two dimensions, and you could imagine generalizing it to any number of dimensions, right? Now people write this in a an interesting way as well. There's an operator called the gradient operator, and it's this symbol. The name for this symbol is the nabla, and they think of this as a dot product. Right? So how does that work? Think of it as we have, this is an x partial derivative, right? So have an x partial derivative operator here, just leaving out what function you're taking the derivative of. And think of it symbolically, right? This is just notation here. So think of it as, so this times that. Well, wait, it's not really times, is it? So it's just, it's notation. But if we interpret the times as meaning apply the derivative operator to the function p there, right? Then it works out. Right? So this, you'll have partial p, partial x, plus partial q, partial y, plus partial r, partial z, right? Fine. And people abbreviate this. So it just becomes the gradient symbol. Normally we have a gradient of f is like this, in 3D at least. So you can think of that as in this notation, right? As somebody's imagining, it was really a vector, and now this is some kind of scalar product with f, right? But it's kind of an abusive notation, but it's really short, so people like to use it. Now, people write the gradient as a dot product, but not the usual kind of dot product of vector to vector, because this is not a vector in a three-dimensional space. This is a vector-valued operator, right? It takes as input a vector field, and the output is a scalar field. It's not vector-valued. It's an operator on vector fields. The input is a vector field, output is a scalar field, right? A scalar function. And then things get a little more interesting with the three-dimensional version of curl. The reason things will be more complicated with curl is that for divergence, there's going to be a 3D analog of Green's theorem called Gauss's theorem, or just the divergence theorem, where you'll integrate on a 3D region, and it'll tell you the net flow out of that region. Right? Great. So that's just a number. Either there's a positive flow, right, net flow out of a 3D region, or a negative flow, net flow into the region. But curl is more complicated, right? The curl seems to be saying something like, if it's positive, then at this point the field is turning counterclockwise. The field is kind of turning to the left, so to speak. If the curl is negative at a point, it means the vector field is turning to the right. Right? turning clockwise.
Let me put some pictures of that, right?
Here's some positive divergence. The fluid is kind of spreading out. And it doesn't have to look like that, though. It could also just look like this, for example. This would make the fluid spread out, too, because the higher level of fluid, so to speak, would be running away further and further away from the lower level that's going slower. And the negative divergence, the fluid is all converging on a point or compressing in some way. Like here, there, the lower level is catching up, gaining on the higher level, so to speak. Okay, and again here, think of this as a fluid is a turning here. In 3D, this is going to be an issue because you can't just say, oh, it's turning clockwise or counterclockwise. You have to say, around which axis are we turning, right? So in 3D, you want to say, we're turning counterclockwise around such and such an axis. Well, really, you want to say, we're turning in the positive direction around this axis according to the right-hand rule, right? So the fingers on my right hand indicate the direction of turning, and my thumb is indicating where the axis is. Right, so this will actually have to be a vector. And in the abbreviated notation, which is a nice way to remember it, think of it as the cross product of the gradient operator with the vector field. Okay? So if you pretend that partial derivative application is just like multiplication, then this would come out, partial P. Why don't I just write it? Be a little clearer. I'm less likely to mess up this way. Okay, so 3 and 2. Yeah, there we go. Or no, 2 and 3. So partial r, partial y, 2 and 3 minus 3, 2 minus partial q, partial z, x component and the y component. Okay, so 3, 1. So partial p, partial z, minus partial r, partial x. Three, one, minus 1, 3, and then finally 1, 2 minus 2, 1. Okay, so partial q, partial x, minus partial p, partial y. Aha! And right here, the third component of the curl matches the curl right here. Right, so you can think of this as, this was just a vector field that happened to have no z component, right? And so this is just, and then this is the z component of its curl. Okay, if your vector field has no z component and the x and y components have no z dependence, right? Then all of these terms would die, and you just have this. So you can think of this as representing a measurement of how much and which way, positive or negatively, is our vector field turning around the z-axis, right? So this will be positive turning around the positive z-axis. You imagine the z-axis coming out of the board. And this would be negative turning, right? Because it's going against my fingers. So you have that. Okay. So this is going to be an actual, I guess you could say, this curl is a vector valued operator in the sense that the output is a vector field. Okay. So you actually get vector field input, vector field output, a little more complicated. And as you can see, there's a lot of computation for this one. You have to compute 6 partial derivatives. Maybe your calculator, check the catalog, right? See if it has a curl and div commands in there. Might speed some of this up. This should point in the direction around which F is turning. Near your point x, y, z. Right? This is a vector field, right? It can be different at each point. And the magnitude, you can think of it as a measure of how tight a turn is it, right? But it's also a measurement of speed. If you multiply your vector field by 10, then you'll multiply all these partial derivatives by 10. So you'll get 10 times as much curl. So you can think of, so the magnitude is something to do with a rate. In fluid dynamics, there's a concept called vorticity, which is just the curl of the velocity field. But as you can see, this is definitely some kind of a rate. We're taking derivatives and. Now, let's see a little picture here of this. I believe it was homework 45 that had you do a little 3D vector field plot. Come out to be positive. Okay. So if you graphed it, let me get the screen back on. Swirling picture, right? And maybe you did on Wolfenotha, or maybe you made an account on SageMath Cloud here. Here's how Wolfenotha renders it. See, it looks like it's kind of swirling, and if you look at it, it is the z-axis is pointing up here. It's got the x-axis is pointing that way, the y-axis is pointing that way, and then the z-axis is pointing up. It's a right-handed coordinate system, x, y, z. Z is pointing up. And you can see that this thing, a little busy here, but it is curling around this way. So this is going to be curling, according to the right-hand rule, around the positive z-axis. And in fact, this is a very simple one. So what would be the curl of this thing? It looks like it should be something like a 0, 0, 1. But let's see. Maybe that's an oversimplification. Okay, so so y partial derivative of z, minus z partial derivative of x, okay. So those are going to come out zero, right? You hold x and z constant, take the y derivative. The derivative of z is the derivative of a constant, which is zero. That's going to be zero. The same with this one, right? Partial z of negative y, right? When you take the z partial derivative, you hold the x and y constant. So this is going to be a constant with derivative zero. And then you have partial z partial x, right? You take an x partial derivative, you're holding the y and z constant. So this is just a derivative of a constant. So that's another zero. So four zeros. The only interesting stuff happens here, right? Partial q partial x, that's partial x partial x, okay? Well, the rate of change of x with respect to x is 1, right? You change x, it changes x by 1 times as much, right? And then minus partial negative y partial y, right? The y derivative of negative y is negative 1, right? You change negative y by something, it changes, or sorry, you change y by something, it changes negative y by negative 1 times as much. So you get 1 minus negative 1 here. So this all works out to 0 minus 0, 0 minus 0, 1 minus negative 1. I should simplify a little bit to 0, 0, 2. So it is pointing along the positive z-axis. So that confirms what a little bit of my claim about this having to do with which way the vector field is turning. In this particular example, the curl came out to be a constant. It doesn't have to be. Here's another one. Divergence, gives some intuition. How about the divergence of x, y, z? This is an easy one. It's 3. Now my point here is that this is positive. This is an example of something that really is diverging. I just think of it as at any point, right? Since the divergence is a constant, it's always 3. That means at any point the fluid is spreading out. If you think of it as fluid flow, and that makes sense. You know, if we plot this field, it looks like it's clear that things are spreading away from the origin. But it's not just at the origin. If you're at any point in there, right, what's going on is something like this. Okay. Maybe I can plot this in Sage Math, give you a sense of it. That's better. I need to do a little. I need to go beyond this and customize it some. So this was one of Sage Math's colorful plots of the negative y and z one, the one that spins around the z axis. All right, but let's look at x, y, z here, and let's. to really emphasize what's going on here, let's focus on a region away from the origin. It give you a sense of what I mean, that the fluid is still spreading out. Hopefully, shed some light on this. Okay. Arrows are a little too long. Too many arrows, too crowded. Okay, it's a little better. Okay, what is going on? The lighter colors correspond to shorter arrows, less magnitude. Okay, so what's going on is down here, if you think of this as fluid flow, it's slower, right? Lighter color, a little bit shorter arrow. Here, it's faster. So even here, when I'm away from the origin, with X, Y, and Z between 2 and 3, the fluid is still spreading out, which is consistent with this divergence being a positive number, even away from the origin. You see the fluid here is going this way, but the fluid ahead of it is going faster. So if the car in front of you in traffic is going faster than you, you're going to get further and further away from him, right? So the fluid is spreading out, even when we're not right at the origin, and it's obviously spreading away from the origin. I guess you could have a local picture like this. Right? There's an inner layer that's moving, but the outer layer is moving even faster. So it's all spreading out. Near the origin, it looks a little different, of course. It has more of this kind of star pattern that all comes up. Now, a more complicated vector field does not have to have a constant curl or a constant divergence. You could imagine something where, in some places, the field is spreading out. In other places, it's compressing, right? So some places, positive divergence. Other places, negative divergence. And the curl could be non-constant as well. Here, I'm spinning around this axis this way. But over here, I'm spinning around this axis. Over here, I might be spinning around that axis. Who knows? Change a bunch, right? Even with something simple like a polynomial, you could have a whole bunch of change. Here. If I don't want to do anything on the screen, it'll hide this board, so I should stick to this board. Not all the terms in math have self-explanatory meaning, but I think the names divergence and curl are pretty self-explanatory. Positive divergence diverges, it spreads apart. Curl is about turning. I'm relatively satisfied with that terminology. Fun with this. Let's look at, say, sine of y, sine x, sine of z. And
cosine.
No.
Cosine of x.
There we go. Let's not leave x out.
Okay.
So this is my field. Okay. Now the divergence and the curl will not be constant functions. They're going to be a little more interesting now. Okay. So the divergence is easy. So we take the x partial derivative of sine of y.
I guess I did not tell the truth, did I? No.
If I do it this way, the divergence is going to be zero.
No.
This. I'll change it once. There. Okay, now the divergence won't quite be zero. Okay. So the divergence is always easy to remember. Okay, so if you hold y and z constant and x derivative is zero, the x partial derivative here is zero. This one's zero as well. Zero, bunch of zeros until the last term. Okay, let's see if we can plot this crazy thing. A plot of it here. Yeah, it's more complicated. Definitely. In some places, at least, I'm seeing some kind of a spiral, and I'm definitely seeing some spreading out in some places. See where here it seems to be going kind of slow and then it goes a little faster. There's definitely going to be some divergence there. Let me increase the z range here though. I may as well increase all the ranges because there should be a region where it compresses. It should be a region of compression. So why don't I go all the way up to 6 and see it better. So in some places it's spreading out, but it's also compressing. Hard to see. Okay. Places where sine of z gets bigger, right? That's where the vertical part of the vector field is getting bigger. It's so hard to see. At the right levels, the levels where the cosine of z is positive, so say from about -1.5 to +1.5, kind of in the middle here, it's spreading out. Like here and this around here. Anyways, you have roughly this situation where the red car is the car in front of you and it's going faster than you, so it's spreading out. This thing's going to get admittedly. And now you want to have some sense of, okay, at various places in this crazy thing, think of it as some kind of fluid flow, and which axis am I turning around? too many arrows here. If we want to get a sense of that, we might want to zoom in on a little piece of it, say. Okay, here's a little piece of it where I zoomed in on a piece of it. You can see something better. So you can see in this region, I have all three variables, x, y, z, between 0 and 2. See a little better which axis it's turning around. Looks like down here it's turning around some axis there. But there's also a lot of turning this way, so that's some turning around the axis kind of pointing out that way. And we'd like to know the curl of this thing. What does that correspond to? Right, so we'd have to take a bunch of partial derivatives again. Okay, so partial y of this thing, of the z component is 0. Partial z of the y component is cosine of z. Partial z of the x component is 0. Partial x, so the x partial derivative of the z component is not 0. It's negative sine of x. And then we do the x partial derivative of the y component, which is 0, minus the y partial derivative of the x component, which is not 0, it's cosine of y. Okay, so this would be an example where there's some complicated stuff going on. Depending on where you are, it could be a completely different axis of rotation. Right? You could pick your point to make it any axis you want.
The cosine of y going to be negative?
It's for a z.
Oh.
Yeah.
Samuel's right. I forgot my sign. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So yeah. And if you're plugging in numbers between 0 and 2, this is kind of the right thing. Because this rotation here, it's not really around the positive z-axis because the arrows are actually going this way. So it's a little hard to see the arrowheads. You have to zoom in. Okay. Okay. I'm not going to give you any homework, but we're going to have to use divergence and curl in future days. So you'll get practice with this stuff one way or another.
Okay.
And you're welcome to practice it yourself and plot your own vector fields if anything is interesting. I hope I've given you some hint of why I think it's interesting. All right. Okay. So good luck on the test tomorrow. Yes, sir? No. There are no classes Wednesday, and even the faculty get to leave at lunchtime. It's great.